more than 1 year from the date of adoption.
Good morning, I'm Andy Lesser of PMC.
Ma'am, morning update. Good morning. Are you from the public?
No, I'm from the computer.
Now, we want to invite you closer to us. But you do have to have a place to find. Thank you. Good morning. And as mentioned, potentially Dr. Engelbrecht as well. I will now call Minister Mbongo to provide us with a brief overview and remarks of the budget estimate for 2020 and 2021. You have 5 minutes, and immediately after you, the Income and Pension Leader Secretary will allow us.
Thank you for the opportunity. So that I can still use my other 5 minutes so you can understand all of us. I just want to thank the team, I know that the foundation of teaching the best, so much here at the front, and I just thank for that. We want to allow most of the questions to answer that I get. Part of the tough years, which is also tougher years, the local economy of the country was going down. With the increase in the population in the Western Cape and also with the comorbidities of the disease. The team came up with a very review so that we can be able to plan accordingly. I think it's part of the notes. Apart from the in the plan about how we behave now to plan accordingly. And of course, again, whatever happens to the economy of the country, on service delivery in regard to the equitable change. So, what in the real terms, I mean, generally, you find that there wasn't much difference, but in the real terms, you see a big slice of it. Which if we add in from the previous years, we can take up to about 1.2 billion the previous years and the upcoming years. That's how it goes. And then we have that in the budget program, in the programs, we have to sometimes have to rock fall and pay calling, where we find that in some of the slices we have to increase maybe by 5% or so, and others maybe by 6% or so. But I think when we go deeper into the budget programs, you'll see in terms of that, of course, we may ask a question, how come certain programs look like it still remain the same, or there's been not much of an increase, but we find that we have removed the other aspects that have been taken care of in the previous years or the previous years, and then we still have got a bigger slice of chunk that could still remain around that. So I think I can just provide opportunity so that I could ask any questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. So Minister covered most of the issues, but just highlight maybe one or two things. Because we have a switch over and into a new 5 year period, what this budget opportunity gives us is just an affirmation of what our new 5 year plan is and how to actually prepare ourselves. So the budget shortfall, as the Minister says, is therefore also seen against the context for the health department shifting in the next 5 years. So it's quite important for us to be mindful of what's unfolding in this space. So very much thinking about what universal health coverage means for us in light of the national NHI process, and the preparedness of a system to be able to cope with whatever comes at it. So when we had planned or had engaged specially and had put our plans together for this budget, none of us could have predicted that we will sit in this chamber
Those activities be, but there's also
has also been a request from your side in terms of to the national department that they need to plan accordingly for the interns role that's going to flow. You have a guarantee that those financial implications will ultimately not put added pressure already on the decrees for this year, and obviously there will be further decrees in that.
Dank u, voorzitter. Minister, de minister moet een nieuwe HLT zijn. En dus ook dat is een goede samenwerking met mevrouw Lee, tot voordeel van onze mensen daar buiten. Zo, ja, bij geluk, onze nieuwe HLT. Chairperson, mijn is on page 215. The second sentence.
We are for now just working with the forward or the forward. Okay. We will after this round move over to the page that you have just mentioned.
Okay.
So will you just hold this question and have a break?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Member Porter.
Thank you very much, Chi. I'll echo with what the members also said previously, welcome to HLT. And then I want to also echo what the Minister said in her forward around the 32,000 employees in this department. And I think now, on the eve of this pandemic, they are going to have to be more brave. So I'm thanking them in advance. And then also to you and your department for shortly reacting to the pandemic that we are dealing with. And during the first conference that you have done. I want to ask Minister, however, and coming from a rural perspective, how is our community being informed on that platform with regard to this virus? And I know that you have the stances that you offer publicly, but as you affectionately always say, the Antisara and the Marco Marlo, that does not always necessarily understand the language. How is it being communicated to them? And then with regards to the shortfall that Dr. Peter has referred to, in terms of the coronavirus, how is that thing going to be built in terms of the shortfall that you have mentioned? So thank you, G. That's for me on the call.
And this is from my side, was partially covered. Minister Mayer in his address mentioned about unanticipated occurrences or events. One just wants to know if this pandemic is part of that event and in what way were there provision made for. And as the previous speaker said, especially in our rural area, how we put the minds at ease of an anti-sars or into the clinic. Expecting the service now saying, what if I might not because of? Thank you. Unlike in that, they might do it for 2 hours. So they've got some commitment.
In terms of the communication, it's part of the mayor and the premier, the improvement plan for the manager. So the aspects related to the schooling, well, it's already communicated via the Department of Education, via the premier, in terms of what's going to happen, because it's already confirmed, it's out there, that the site will be used in the one where the school is. Was communicated by them, but remember the process, the reason that you couldn't communicate was you cannot close the school for something else, not for the benefit of the Elena, but it was then because there was going to be the close of school in the old site. So that was communicated, but it was part of the whole package. There's also elements in terms of the sporting facilities, the safe pathways, so it's all part of the management improvement plan. So, but Joseph Conrad, so Edward Conrad. With the coronavirus update, I think there's one thing that he said, although it impacts for now, like we think it's a health issue, it is societal issue. So everyone has a role to play. It will impact on the economy, it impacts on the social aspect, and all of those, the transporting and all of those. So that's why the very point that you mentioned about this. Every member of the legislature here has got to be after. And therefore, for the committee, also in terms of the presentation. And it's also been even available electronically, because the website specifically for the coronavirus update, just give you an example, same applies in the NA, the National Minister of Health, including the committee, they're doing the same thing. If you are a member of MP here in the Western Cape, you still have got some of the answers, whether it's in the format of the NCOH or our form. So it's already there. And we've been also on the radio, and there are already case laws, which is not going to be also in other languages. We're supposed to do this. One of the other languages as well. The big radio station, the cover land of 7 million. Listeners and so forth, we have done all of those. The point is, when you as a member of parliament have got this information, it's up to you even to say, okay, the health is not my strong area, I do have this, but I don't have questions, I don't have answers, but I'll come up to have organized a public meeting. We will invite health minister, whoever, to come and speak more about this issue, so what has been happening. For example, churches, they've invited us. Mayor, although they have access of them, it's open to anyone if you are in that. So there are many questions, but probably my peers, even some of those in the TV, although we had a presser who asked the question. But again, individual programs, they will say, once you are here, how do we deal with that particular case? How do we ensure that indeed there is self-isolation? Will you be following? Is there any tag on his neck to see how he's moving? I don't know how to tag the TV patient. And then again, I don't think we have to put much of the content trying to explain the whole of this, what is already there. But I think the issue is about how to make sure that Ansara doesn't get left behind. Ansara also got you as well. The same thing that how do you ensure that cancer doesn't spread or doesn't get TB? The same thing. For me, I was put as nice about TB than corona, actually, because that one is airborne. You might be thinking, that one is I've got around TB, and then he's sitting there in that corner, like him. The bacteria is going to be in the air, saying the rules to him. Whereas with the corona, probably you might share among ourselves, because we are less than 1 meter from each other. But if he's sneezing, he has got the responsibility to cover himself. Or I've got the responsibility to say that, let me move, let me sit there. So something like that. I don't have this as nice about corona. Probably, no, I think so. Most of the health people in Lake, that's why I'm not saying that he's got this. But the people who have to take into consideration in terms of the preventive measures, which is actually the preventive measures, even for the TB itself, which kills 3,000 people in South Africa every year. common cold, 11,000 people in South Africa every year. So we need to the balance. Again, we're expecting not only the Western Cape general, we're expecting more cases. Next week I get 100. This is an expectation. There will be more of those. But what matters is about how to test, isolate, test, preventive measures, and provide step one, the ready and to prepare. And in terms of the resources, of course, for tracing the contact, it will require more resources because it's completely different. And unfortunately, the budget that we're presenting is a budget that responds to the current issue. That was nothing to do with the crisis. That was even before the coronavirus, the mere fact that our population is increasing. The comorbidity, and when you look at the Association of Disease, where he talks about the virus, in terms of the mental health and some of the other components, other areas, the issue of the inequities, those we've seen now in the Western Cape, also moving towards the whole of South Africa, where you have the unequal society, how to ensure that you don't leave others behind. When we are trying to implement the universal health coverage, how to ensure we have the public-private partnership? Of course, the private say that we are in business, we need profit. What is it in for us? So there are many of those things that we should look into consideration. And the short call, I think the finance can explain about it. The same applies to the intent. What I know is for sure is that whilst we have our obligation to create an environment and take in the intent, all promises, because in order for them to be qualified doctors, we have to have those. And then in terms of the HR, we have got the number that we allocate. Also, in the we have to consider the accredited side. Anyway, in terms, I'm also in central hospitals. So we've got our number. But then there was a request from the national previous that we can take more. I think the last time we acquired it before, the first year. So that part of it, where now we find that there was a commitment, but not an absolute commitment, because they end up not giving us much of the money. But where we're going at is about, I think in 2021, we might not be able to have the additional ones if there is no money. Because remember, we took some where they gave us the money, but the others didn't give us the money. Same applies, the ones that we have completed for 2021, the issue could have been also community services. Because after they are cleared, they're supposed to go to the community services if they are approved. So there is, but they can explain more about that aspect. Yes, you need doctors, yes, you need nurses, but there are times where we find that you cannot accommodate all of those that we have trained. I think we've seen in Limpopo where they're retreating, they need to be money to be appointed. Our obligation is about for the interns, our obligation is about for making an example of community services. Once they are completed, then they can wait for the post wherever they could go. I've mentioned, I think, the issue about the coronavirus.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Just to touch on the issue that Mr. Charles mentioned. Just to add on to the filing system, the minister raised the issue that we, together with the city of Cape Town, work on it and identify. So when you have a number, file number, when you go to the city or the province, when you go to a clinic or the community health center or the hospital or the close care side work, you all get the unique number that all of us use. So even if you come to close care and a number is with you, the person who is there has access to all the information where the person wants in the system. So that was our first, that's our first commitment to work towards that the information you can in each facility. It is linked to a unique number. Wherever else you are in the system, you can have access to that information. What you've experienced, which is our challenge, because we are currently sitting in a paper-based system, the intention is to move to a paper-based system, but it will take us some time. So what you find is you will find in different places that we are in different stages of trying to work with. Now, while we move from a paper-based system to a paper-based system, the voluntary team, there's lots of headaches about how long you must keep the file. So you go to different facilities and you'll find that there's certain places where you have to keep a file by law for 21 years. Now, if you think the number of new people coming in and stories of that, it's chaotic in many ways. So in each place where you come, there's a tent for people to say, can you buy between active files and you move them out? Put it in a warehouse. And then what you keep as a facility is cut down to 5 years. You don't have to keep something that's more than 5 years. And if somebody's going to use that file, get them out and move it to the place. And if you have to retrieve it, you can retrieve it. So that is where we are. Your experience of South Africa and what you saw in the West Coast is that in West Coast, our facilities are in different states of life, green up. And the whole idea is it must be 30 centers. So when you come in, have a number, somebody should retrieve your file as quickly as possible. You're not getting lost in all that. Because South Africa is the city with their system. I agree with you that it must be as seamless as possible. And we are currently working with the city of Cape Town. In specific areas, we are moving towards one or the other, working with the patient. The patient should not experience that the problem serves in that facility. The patient should experience I'm part of the healthcare system. So I think it's a very important point that we make that system work seamlessly from the patient perspective. I just want to come up to touch on the short form that Melissa talked about, and in the details of the patient case, we'll go a little bit more into the detail of the short form in one thing. But the broad issue that the member asked about is I suppose National specifically gave some money in this allocation to cover in this. We started before, and then you're right, we previously said we're going to ask it. So we have covered time costs for interns, but you need to understand that the interns are paid until the 31st of December. There is supposed to be a new intake internship on the 1st of January. We still have a bit of a problem from January to March next year for the total cost. But that means we've seen that that is part of the money that's coming into the system. Shortfall, we because the shortfall is something that we have to mitigate in our department, that shortfall has been mitigated across the entire department. So we divide it into what we allocate and the assumptions we make about what is going to be the inflation. And we visit, of course, all plants. It puts pressure on our ability when we come back to the table to see whether we can have enough money goods and services to be able to purchase everything that we will be able to do in the year. But that's how we dealt with it. And then just to add the last thing to Melissa said, from the global picture for COVID, we are in a situation, we were in a situation 2 weeks ago where we had no cases. We are now in a situation where there are cases, but all our cases are import cases. So every case that we have that is positive has got to have these outside the country. In that phase where we are, so we're not in some of the places we are, but Italy, the other side. So the importance is now to identify, to isolate, and to control the spread. That's why it's so important to look at our hygiene, because that helps us with the spread for the common cold. It helps us with the spread for other diseases that the minister has referred to. So that's where we find ourselves. We have a provincial joint operations center. So the disaster management system has been activated. As the health department, we're the key informant of what happens to the disaster management system. Ourselves are planning for the scenario. And what if we reach the scenario of what's happening? What is our preparedness? And that's what we need to do internally in our department. This budget does not make provision for that cost. And as we rightly say, even Minister Mayday's budget, that was contingency, is not covering the cost. So what we are working with is we do our preparation, we're doing what is responsible, and we will be taking what we're spending. But it's important for us to take what we're spending. Because for the country, there's going to have to be a deliberation about how is the cost of doing this, because it's an unforeseen expenditure. And we have to activate the mechanisms that's available to us, which happens in unforeseen expenditure.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Okay, I thought that we will go into the detail as places questions will come up.
Okay. We will now thank the
Vice
Instead of going page by page, I think we'll take it in five. So from page 215 until page 20. Or rather 220, Members can now ask their questions in the mobile portal. Just keep in mind, members, that at 10 o'clock we will be taking a tea break until 10:15. Jefferson, maybe I'm off, let off the frame now, but I will take the steps off. I just need to understand from the Department of Law. Did they say all past context of the confirmed case? They tested positive in the problem. So before I
well, I'll go back to the general context. Probably this is the answer for the young country to Corona.
Yeah.
What happens now? The patient is on self isolation. Where we constantly engage with him because we are tracking the contact within the one room of contact. Of course, he has traveled outside of the facility in four other destinations, which the National Department ECHO will sort that out of it in terms of the person that he has been in contact with outside South Africa. Inside South Africa, so we're busy chasing all those contacts. Already the person already went to a private GP. So already we already know the GP is also in safe isolation and all other people. So that's how it's normally take about 2 weeks or so when we have the contact of the contact, For example, even our patient zero is not guaranteed that although they at the time they reach about 21 contacts, there might be also others if the contact of the contact of the contact are also positive. So it's still part of the process. We are sorted in that part. But remember, people, there will be more people who might volunteer or others who might be probably pick up from the outcome. There will always be, as was told in the right cases, there will always be people under investigation who will come voluntarily as well. It's not important how many people who are currently being tested. What matters is about if we've got a positive case, protocol is the National Minister of Health will make an announcement. And then that promise, we take it up from that part of the aspect. But currently, I think about 87 out of the 3,000 that have quoted, 87 in the Western Cape that have already tested. So far, they're negative. But for me, I don't want to focus too much about how many we've been testing. What matters is about if we've got a positive case, are we ready in order to contain so that it doesn't spread? I think the main thing what Dr. indicated was about, we don't want a situation of community transmission. Identify, detect, isolate, test, and present, and then after 40 days or whatever, if the person doesn't have symptoms, that person is fine. So it's just remember to manage a food 2 or 4 days, afterwards, fine discharge. And what we've seen internationally worldwide, almost 94% of all the people of their 113,000, all of them were discharged, they're fine. And then you've got the 6% where others may be deaf, others may be physically ill. It's not a major, but even in cases in Italy, where there also got contact in Italy, it's mostly what we've seen in terms of the definition is about most of the elderly existing medical conditions. I think for us, that's why we say that we don't want community transmission. If let's say the case itself is picked up somewhere in house that's common. I'm just making an example and then we ended up with a whole lot of things that are here to the handset and everyone in house. That's what matters. I think we're done now with the coron. No more questions about the coron.
I hope.
Members are you covered now with your virus question? Member Walter?
No.
Okay. Let's start with 217. Member Walter, and then Member Walter, and then Member McKenzie, and then Member Regan Adams.
Thank you, James. Right, so on page 215. Second sentence. While the department committed to ensuring quality care for all, the reality on the ground is that of service pressure, overcrowding, facilities on the floor. So for the benefit, can the department explain how this budget will address long queues outside the health centers? How will it address challenges for rural health, and how will it address staff shortage in district hospitals, which leads to patients sleeping on floors and chairs? Then the second one, Chair, is on 217. Budget so far. On page 221, you see that the hospital stay for the province increased from 7.4 billion in 2019-20 to 18.5 billion in 2020-21. So, let me understand, if the hospital stay for the hospital is increased, has decreased as well. Does any disclarity there? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Nina, right? Okay. On page 215, and going forward on the health preparedness, demand, in services, everything related to the plan. Because one has to be realistic. You have all of the policies that we have allocated. But if something that's happening currently, like Corona, eats out 32,000, nothing of this is going to be delivered. No matter how prepared you are, no matter everybody's in isolation, you take off all the our contacts for the person of anyone. So every question related to Corona is very important to the And for me as a public agent to go out and sell this product that the government says, I need to be satisfied with this before I leave. Yeah. So my question is, again, on the policy question, this budget has been allocated and the budget was prepared since last September after now. That's an emergency. There's a potential risk coming to this department to receive earlier, including the 32 staff members who's working in hospital clinics at the face of the government. What are we doing? What plan is in place? So that I can tell somebody goes to Mitchell Square Hospital next week. Don't worry, the people there know about Corona, they've been informed, they know what needs to happen. They are each of them getting, if you like, a portion of this hand sanitizer. And I haven't gotten that plan yet from the department. And that's what it is.
Thank you, Member Porta, and then Member Abbott.
Thank you, Member. I think this covers the minute. Thank you. But I must do page 217 also. I just want to understand the amount that is allocated for the dealing with the theatre backlogs at Heidelberg. Will that now entirely eliminate that backlog or not? And then the Krabbeau Community Health Centre, that conversion from 8 hours to 24 hours, how does that, in terms of staff, what is it for the, what is the kind of shift that they are working in, and how does it differ from day to night? And then, if you can clarify for me the undertakings by the National Department of Health that did not materialize. And then also the increased force security, is that only at hotspot areas, clinics or hospitals, or is that spread across the district?
Thank you, Jefferson. I am covered by the security question as was by Member Worker. But 217, the service expansions, and forgive me for this question. It states that no allowances have been made for new facilities, services except 5 minutes, etc. Do we have a broad view of what we actually need? I wouldn't want to say what is the wish list, because obviously the wish list, but do we have an understanding that we actually need X amount of hospitals or clinics? So just to get that understanding, security wise has been dealt with, but then on 219, and again, Jacob, indulge me regarding the supply chain management. Obviously, to alleviate the administrative burden, it is stated that the majority of the goods and services are procured by transversal contracts as opposed to the IPD system. Can you explain what that means and what the majority is? Is it 80%, 90%, and how that benefits the system? Thank you.
Thank you, Member. You may now proceed to answer. I'm covered by the overall impact and,
how is mostly responding to the social ill, absorb all the social ills that are not necessarily health specifically related. If you look in terms of the social determinants, from 2011 to 2015, the incidence of poverty increased in, and one-third of the population that are living in poverty. And when now, and also the issue of the unemployment, although we might have looked at it far better, but again, remember, in terms of the relative, the issue of the unemployment. So I mentioned these challenges of inequality, the challenges of unemployment, and the challenges of poverty. It helps us absorb those. If you are unemployed, you definitely, if you want to be sure, then you come to the facility. If you are hungry or you are in terms of the poverty where you ended up not even having much of access to nutritious food, it means that it likely would, especially if you're worried about existing conditions, it will impact on the state of the health, but also general in terms of the others. Mental health, the burden of the mental health disease, it affects us. I made an example of the injury, which affects where young men die prematurely and so forth. Where we've got more women living with HIV/AIDS because probably they are more taking other ARTs. My point, what I'm trying to make, we have got a budget now that we got it from the National Treasury, people to share and all of those, but it is in proportion mostly to. Yes, because you answer that question of yours, a member of the in terms of the equitable share. Yes, the Western Cape now is the third one when it comes to the increase in the population. So in terms of the number. But it doesn't consider that the Western Cape has got more people in terms of the violence, injured. So the first head count money that will be allocated for this person. It doesn't take because of this person will end up having a violence that will impact where you need to have probably 9 operations to save his life because of the violence. Just giving an example. So in terms of the risk factor, it doesn't consider much of it, so that it is a share. Therefore, the budget we have is responding to the 6.7 million of the population, which is mostly the insured one. It doesn't consider that those 50% that are uninsured, what if now they ended up the medical aid that we take? Or where now they ended up probably being unemployed and then come to the services. The question about can we have a reassurance that there will not be patients sitting on the floor? There will still be people living on the floor, sitting on the floor. There will be, because we do understand it is the staff establishment that we have, it has been necessarily more responsive, number one, to the burden of disease that we have. So we already have some of the shortages. Every indicated, for example, there's a 128 million sort of shortfall, which is the part where also the shortfalls of salary and something, and then you add in the next 2 years. The budget we're talking about, the just budget, that is a normal budget. Therefore, we have to rock all in terms of retain some from the central hospital budget in terms of the budget programs and give it to the district and all of those. Do we take some from the district and give more to the EMS because we have to respond to the priority one? So we don't have a budget that says, in case of the corona, that's like we didn't have a budget that says, in case of the COC. We never had budget that says in cases in H1N1. We never had a budget that says that in case of an outbreak of measles and SARS, we never had a budget that says we have cases an outbreak of diphtheria and strong. We never had a budget that says that in case of a load shedding. Remember, we started a load shedding. Where in case for the drought, never. We spent almost $500 million for the boreholes. We never had your change from our own budget. We never said national flood and there is money, there's a drought now. Never. So we had to find our way. Although we make a motivation, putting all of those, we need X, Y, Z, do whatever, that hour too much. Same applies to the wage bill. The wage bill, when the unions and the national, whoever participating in that bargaining council, when they say they're going to be increased, they said that the specialization has to find a way. So maybe we have to increase the salary, increase also in terms of the benefits and all of those comes from our own pocket. It doesn't mean we get any additional money. We don't have an additional income. We don't have that. So, never mind, you will never get these from us. Never. Because the type of medicine, what is asked, like right now, there are people say that they have medicine out of stock. And although it's based on the national tender, but you find that even then, some of them, it might be the lack of the raw material that is basically from China or India. Therefore, that's why you might not have HPV. Some people say that there's no contraceptives in one of the areas or whatever. And it's not beyond us. And probably beyond the national because they get it from whatever. So we'll never be able to say here that everything is going to be fine. For me, I anticipate that actually we'll have more challenges than ever before. If not the coronavirus hit us more, we'll be at our worst moment. So I don't want here to come here and say that everything is going to be okay. But what matters, which is crucial, is about when Anisara ended up sitting on the floor, did we communicate? Well, in some instances, it would be when they sit here on the chair that, my deck, I'd rather, because if now I'm a new patient, say that I can wait up to 8 hours, okay, I'll communicate. The review patient, well, the visitor patient who are busy, this is the end of the month, and our EC is busy. So you will be seen after 8 hours. Ideally, you were supposed to start at the clinic, and I said that now it's after hours, it's closed. So I'm saying, the medicine is rather than sitting here, let me just put my blanket here and sleep on the floor. You cannot say no, and then take the picture now, then you're sleeping on the floor. And then you're asking me. And then I said, I'm not actually prepared, chose. And there was an offer probably for her to go back home and come back, something like that. But it's completely different when, in our world, we have also human rights issues, that when the elderly person, the very sick, the children, they have to prioritize policies. What matters, how do you communicate? That's why we even provide all of these for the people instead of the noga, something like that. We provide all of those in all of these bodies, everywhere they are there. So that's why we make the point that they take that in some areas where people must have at least about 4 hours or so forth in some areas where they have at night, like in the Pine Chai night wait from someone just to come out and to walk upon so that you see if are there any challenges. So we do face a lot of challenges that are coming. The issue of the again coronavirus and the premium office, the doctor, they've got a whole package of the intervention as part of the board, they have activated a provincial joint where we've got different streams for health, streams for the transport, what they might be in cases where people will impact on the transport or whether inside in terms of the public transport, streams on education, people understand if there is a child who are approved, how will they be able to activate what to see. Streams on the social development, the communication, the government, all of them already. Already part of it. They might also working with the municipalities, the city already, they are looking to see if probably in some cases, like for example, in a taxi record bathroom, if you want to wash your hands, you have to go to the bathroom. In most cases, you don't want to go to the bathroom, but you just want to wash the hands. How will they be able? Should they be able to put some of them? So you don't want to put the sanitizer on everywhere, but you might have maybe some of the mobile tents or something like to do. I'm just taking an example. So it's different structures. Economy might be thinking of in terms of how they want money, the events, and all of those. For us, as specifically stated that what is important for us about what message, structural information, because we have got authority on the information that we pass on so that people can customize. The sports teams and federations, whatever, they also have their own that they could customize in terms of like in RG and whatever they are playing. So we provide all that guidance so that they can, but where we are now, while the WHO has indicated that it's a pandemic, but still there didn't be in terms of imposing restrictions. So we move with the flow.
So on the specifics of some of the specifics, I think the issue of service questions are to use the quality as you ask about the medicine. The shortfall I'm going to ask is okay, just to explain the technical detail of why we have the same as a shortfall, but if you look at the table, it shows an increase. So I think that's the question, and it will explain how you reconcile the shortfall versus an ongoing increase. Then the question, as the minister said, there is no budget for this. But I also hear you asking the member, what is the plan? So as the minister said, this joint operation center, the provincial disaster management team, what they're doing is in the next 72 hours, they're confirming what this big plan is. We can't have a health plan that's separate from that plan. We are working in the department to say what is our contribution. So the plan is going to communicate to somebody else will come from the provincial disaster management system and we feed into it. And I try to explain that we are looking at scenarios. We're currently doing this, we will escalate, and when need be, we will move towards the status as they might happen in our city. As there's no budget to it, and as the minister said, when these things happen, we have to weigh up our committed expenditure and resources and staff. To be able to accommodate the same system, like we've done in multiple places before. Here's the backlog. The question, I think the short answer is, that is a relief to the most critical theatre pressure in Taiwan. 23 million cannot give this of the theatre backlog in Taiwan. It's a massive backlog of multiple places. This is a specific relief for emergency theatre, operate on a 24-hour basis to bring immediate relief to people that wait too long. But that doesn't mean the backlog. The staffing in Khabon, what has happened in Khabon, they moved from an 8-hour day service. And the first step was to move to an extended hour service. That was our first step. And then to move to a 24-hour service. So what you need is, you need from your pool of staff, somebody that's willing to work in extended hours between 4 and 7 at night. That's what they issued. And they used the organization over time of that. The moment you move to 24 hours, you need enough staffing in the facility to be able to have shifts to work over 20. And that's where we added the additional staff. So the money that you see here is for the additional people to have at least 3 people in the middle of the night that work now from 7 of the night till 7 of the night. And that's a big cost to change. Because 8 hours facility, to be able to run a 24 hours, you need sufficient people to be able to then work in shifts to do that. Then I'll also ask Mr. Gates to deal with the security, what security covers, and if he feels that this subject is going to add, you can do that. And then I think it's quite important that supply chain issue will also be dealt with. But let me just ask the one question about, because I think it's a really crucial question. It's a little bit linked to the question about quality. Is how do we know what the need is? How do we quantify the need? And what are we not needing? Now that's just a little risk question. The whole idea of going to universal health coverage, one of the key questions you do in universal health coverage, is you say, what can your resources purchase? Because even if you go into the UK, people will tell you they're waiting for the operation to for 12 months or 18 months. So it's not a kind of question that only us have in this country. It's an international question. But the big thing is people are saying, with the resources that you do have, do you get the maximum benefit out of it? And that is the decisions we have to make. And therefore, value for money always goes into that. A little bit of what Member Kennedy said. It is more value for money to spend energy in preventing things than rather waiting for people to come here. If you just do money on high-end things that have little impact, you can spend all your money on various things and make very little impact. Those are difficult choices. With our universal health coverage approach, and we obviously have to take this converting into our confidence and our community structures into our confidence over the next 5 years. Those are the difficult conversations that we should have. And we are very open to have those conversations and very open to transparent. I'll hand over to Mr. Thank you, Dr.
Good morning, once again. So I think the question on the 128. The simple fact of the matter is we are being underfunded for our population growth. So the money that we're getting, so the province got some additional money for the population growth, but at the same time National then cut us by 2% on the non-compensation. So what that basically means is we are required to service the growing population with a less than adequate budget. And you're going to therefore see the results of that. Because that simply means that more and more people are coming through and we aren't funded for it. We've done some very significant calculations and as a sector, I'm not talking just within the Western Cape, we're probably about 3 billion rand short on that shortfall as a country. Because our economic growth is not actually keeping up with our population growth. And therefore the revenue pot isn't growing from an economic perspective to cover the demand of what's happening. And remember, we are the actual population that becomes even more focused in terms of lifestyle. So we're not the only people, not the only department that's feeling this pain. Remember, last September, last August, we were asked to cut our budget by 5, 6, and 7%. And that's possibly a reality that's going to come. The National Minister of Health spoke about 160 billion rand. I'll tell you where the risk is the public sector wage fund. That's the risk. That 160 hasn't been factored in yet, but it will be factored. So that, we've got some changes over the NTS, and unfortunately some of those things are going to find voice now. We are slightly mitigated because the CPI, and everything is based on the CPI, and the CPI over the last 6 or 7 months has been lower overall. So we might find ourselves a little bit mitigated. And also we do collect a fairly substantial amount of own revenue in this province. So there are mechanisms that are available to buffer some of those particular services that might come through. I want to link that also to the conversation about the interns, the COSMOs, and the underfunding of the national department. It's a problem. When you allocate the money in terms of DORA to four certain posts, and then they don't fund those posts, and suddenly with an equitable share we have to find that money, you'll see the answer skewing up in some of our numbers. If you just look at Program 1, it looks like we added a whole lot of additional money into Program 1 for new posts. It's not, because this year we have to hold back on filling the post because now we've got 60 million that hold in our budget. And that actually is going to perpetuate itself because the COSMOs are not covered from the thing. They might think they're covered. I was sitting yesterday with the National Treasury analyst showing them that they are not covered. And on top of that, there's an expectation that we're going to be asked to cover another 200 interns coming through in the beginning of January. This is also not adequately covered, and that's many, many hundreds of millions of rand that have been forced or we're being asked to look at. And it's very, very difficult.
we will continue to have a lot of conversations in the space. An element of indirect grant funding that is sitting at the national level, which we're hoping that the sector is going to look at more access to. Because at the end of the day, this is a sector decision. This was made at an overall level for the benefit of for the country, and therefore, in our humble opinion, if we think something that we should provide it from that point too. So we are continuing with along that track. So the security is for Metro, for Cape Town, and it is not specifically in the hotspots. It is done based on the security needs assessment. It has resulted in a physical increase in number of guards within the Metro, and it was done provincially as part of the transversal tender that was awarded in October 1st or 2nd. So, I think we're quite comfortable that we've got a lot of those areas covered. I think a lot of it links into the central hospital. I know a lot of it links into the two central hospitals, just to bolster that, particularly during red violence in Canada. I know Kylie should know that that's where the hospital there was a significant increase in the physical number of guards that are. Yeah, the beauty, and I get into now, leading a little bit of a story between all three, because that comes into the supply chain, and it's a question about transfers of contracts. So the security was done at the provincial level, and actually resulted in a decrease in the cost per guard of about 2%. We really needed some significant more physical bodies, but because of the ability to negotiate with an economy of scale, so the cost came down. And that comes into the question about the supply chain. And I must say that I haven't thought about this, but I must extend an apology for the Chief Director of Supply Chain Management, Ms. Isaacs. Because Ms. Isaacs at the moment, when we're talking backwards and forwards, we're having a look at the transversal contracts that we've got for hand sanitizers at the moment, and understanding where our emergency supplies currently are, where they need to come from, and how we're going to engage with the six suppliers that we have on a transversal contract, which our facilities have been buying from already. That's exactly what the conversation we're having right now in terms of the planning. And she links herself directly to into the JDAC, Joint Disaster Committee. So she's supporting that particular thing. And what we've done in the department over the last number of years, we've developed something called an essential supply list. And the essential supply list is basically identifying clinical items that are needed to maintain the platform. Currently we have 15,000 items on that. And the guys procure that. We have specific teams sitting here who are commodity specific. So they become experts in their specific commodities within the clinical space. And they put together transversal contracts that it doesn't matter where you are in the province, you don't have to go to IPS, particularly for clinical. And the utilization rate is well in the high 90% on that. And in fact, it's something that we track and monitor on a monthly basis. It's something that gets tabled. It's one of our things. It's got to such a point that the utilization of that ESL is so high that it almost becomes an appointment to track it because it's become ingrained in our system. So and that kind of answers that, but it provides us with a lot of leverage within our supply chain structures. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Members, your question, are you covered? You have a follow-up member.
No, I have
a new issue. Can we do that after my Thank you, members. Just FYI, the vote extends until page 252. After that, 253 till 302 deals with the election. Should you have questions on that? I also wish you welcome at this stage our members of the public. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I will now have an opportunity to introduce yourself. I must say,
Coming in this morning and I didn't see Ms. Kibis here, I got very concerned. I almost sent out a search party for us, but we are really very glad that you could join us this morning, and we look forward to you making submissions on the budget this morning. Member Barnes, also welcome to you. Thank you. I will now afford you an opportunity to please introduce yourself, then we will go for tea break. You are more than welcome to join us as well, and we will reconvene at 8:30. So please go ahead, introduce yourself.
Good morning, Damaris Kibis and Chairperson. I only got the invitation yesterday. So it's a continuous plight that the department up its game with their stakeholders and relevant committees, because not even the committees that I engaged knew about today. That's why we are few in number.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, Ima Ismail, Belfast Committee.
And Tonya Ardenson, Belfast Committee.
Thank you very much. One second. Thank you, Jay. I just want to say that the last few comments that the HOD and the CFO is going to probably say that 30 minutes is the answer that you just have. But that's all we want to hear. So when we go out to our meeting, we know that there is a plan, the feeding into the larger plan, and they make the plan available. So that's going to say that 20 minutes that you're going to meet.
You have it all, Member McKinsey. Next break for tea and this break at 8:30. We don't want to take anything away from this process. We will now proceed, members, page 221 to page 226. So should you have any questions, I would like Member Van Vogel. Please proceed, Member.
Thank you. Mine is on the third proposal. I want to know what happened here. Why did the undertaking not materialize? Because it has an impact on services of the communities and our different communities. Remember, there was an undertaking by the NDO space that they will. I mean, like in the critical post, they will deal with the critical post to appoint people.
You have the question? Which page? Okay, you are taking us back now, member. But since you were here first after the break, I will afford you the opportunity. That will be the last time. Member Boyza, who was here? Okay, thank you. The critical post.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'll ask Mr. Kay, you started touching on the critical part. And I'll ask Mr. Kay just to give the technical answer to what happened with the first. And then I will just come back and have a few additional comments to ask.
Okay, so the critical posts, there were 125 critical posts that we were asked to fill beginning of last calendar year. So it's kind of 7th January, ending, which we did. And we pointed out already there that the money that they've given us for the grant allocation last year was insufficient to cover those critical posts and the carry through costs for the next year. They said that this is the national department of us. Don't worry, we've got indirect grant funding and we've got some under expenditure and indirect grant funding, so we will allocate that to you in the adjustment budget. That's all went swimmingly well until September when National Treasury said you can't do that. So they want to transfer significant amounts of money to cover us, and they weren't able to, they weren't physically allowed to do it. So that then left us with people that had already been appointed. So that just means practically that those people have come into the services because they were identified as critical posts within the services. But we've now had to reprioritize. That means what it practically means is we've had to slow down the replacement appointments of other people within the system to create that fiscal space, because we can't go into unauthorized expenditure. That's what government offers is not at liberty to go into certain unauthorized expenditure. So we have very strict controls over our establishment, of the people, so we have very strict financial controls on that, so we can actually, by having those, we can manage that process quite accurately. And that's what we've done. We have written to the National Department on a number of occasions, reiterating what this problem is. The last set of communications was then asking us to change the business plan to reflect what they had on their side. We said that you've already given us a business plan which reflects something completely differently. You can't change your mind on that. It becomes a little bit technical in terms of who's done what correctly within the law and the consequences of what should happen. But practically, we've just had to reprioritize. We haven't been able to pull people at the level that we've done it. And if you look in program one, you'll see that we've done a lot of that. So we've taken our foot more off the court of the administrative side than into the clinical space, just to try and balance this thing out. And then, as you said, we've funded this going forward.
What Mr. Kelly is referring to you is that between National and us, there was an undertaking that they've asked us to identify critical posts. We did it. The financial mechanism didn't quite match up to that. What then subsequently happened is, because of statutory obligation, to find posts for interns, in the middle of this process, they came back and said, we are the least then fund you for the interns. Now, on that critical post, we had other posts. So as the case said, the result of all of that was now all these other posts that was identified, basically just meant that we had to delay other posts. Because now they're only putting their money into intern. The unintended consequences of all of this is that we now have money coming from National for intern posts, whereas our broader pool of money for posts is understaffed. So because we had to now take an unusual amount of interns into our system, all of a sudden there's now a whole lot of interns on us. But if we had to use that money, we wouldn't necessarily have a positive interest, because our stopping is broader than interest. So I just need to post that with you, because what's happening is, because I've engaged our national colleagues, that there's what the circumscribing of posts for interns, and us now helping the country to meet its statutory obligation, is starting to have a distorting impact on how many staff members we have on our plan, and what is the mix of the staff members on our plan. So I just want to register that in terms of what lies at the bottom of this, and the challenge that we go forward.
Thank you. Members, does that cover you up to page 226?
Thank you, Chair. My question is on that page 226. Last sentence in the paragraph, the decision to unbundle the hospital between central and regional services has caused some delays in finalization of feasibility study. If we prepare yet an update on that feasibility study, number two, provide more details on the decision to unbundle the hospital and what necessitated it to, for you to do. What necessitated it and you hope to achieve, and what you hope to achieve through the month.
Also welcome to Member Hasseko. Anything from your family? I look up. Thank you very much. Just before the department answers, Ms. Kibitz had
Second, before the break, that she unfortunately only got notice of the engagement yesterday. I just need to inform you that these processes are advertised in the newspaper. We will actually take it upon ourselves to make sure you watch what newspapers it is advertised and see how effective that communication model is in order for us to adjust and assure that the message to reach everyone on time. So we will certainly take that up.
Can I just, on that, the legislature has a Facebook page. It's not on the Facebook page because any updates I would get, but it wasn't there at all.
We will certainly take that up. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you, Chairperson. So just to conclude the first question of the critical process. When we were afforded the opportunity to say what would be critical costs from our perspective, we had a rapid appraisal of cost of identification. So we had, in that group of folks, we identified nursing folks. We identified artisan folks. We identified certain registrar, certain specialist folks. And it was a range of folks that we, under the assumption of saying that these are critical posts, these posts that we then identified and on the assumption that we get the resources to cover that. When we had this back and forth and it became clear that those are not covered, all it meant is we had to go into our own posts priority and then delay some of other people. That was the implications of it. So I was at the this on the issue of tight work unbundling. Thank you for the question. The bigger rationale has always been the tight work hospital. When we are doing the PPP, is that you talk about either rebuilding the hospital exactly the way it is, or you have an opportunity to call it such a big hospital, that you separate the highest specialized services and you take the more general specialized services, what we call a regional component and a highly specialized component. And in terms of international norm of size of hospitals, it is probably technically better to separate it into two entities. So you are asking what is the intention? It is more efficient to run two hospitals than it is efficient to run one hospital because the one hospital is so big. And that's why it's always been a PPP for the Tigerberg Academic Hospital, which is a very specialized hospital, and a PPP for Tigerberg Regional Hospital. Now the same communication that says national is willing to put money into the construction for the region. At the same time, we have communication to say they're willing to put money into construction of either the regional hospital, which in our plan is not on the premises of the hospital. It is then in about our time, which also then makes the regional hospital more accessible and closer to where the people are, where the health unit actually is. It is right on the artery under, and it's not more accessible. So that is the intention. The update is that obviously the feasibility study has to be tabled and all the options are being checked, but the big update for us is that it's a breakthrough. That national has now said that they're willing to put their first money into the regionals. So that whole thing that we've been talking about, now we have a practical process. Like we get a vote for this region, now we are going to vote for the region. And it starts moving the process forward.
Members, we conclude that part. We are now on page 227. So you may pose your questions until page 240. 227 to 240. Any questions, members? Member Allen? And that's it. Member Bonfoco, after you back.
Thank you, Chairperson. In this category, I would just one question regarding on page 234, ENS services. Especially if you can provide an update with regard to the re-exams and how that has been handled, and especially I understand that there is an inter governing inter-hospital transfers as well. Do we have an idea of when there's one EMS that is full there, for example, because if someone's working 8 hours or more at one facility to be transported, it could cause to people to feel very uncertain, especially if you look at the relationship, and I know we touched on the last time, the relationship with the South African Police Service, has that been ongoing and working? Thank you.
Member Allen, Member Benford.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on page 229, 0.11, payment for critical cases. What are the reasons for the high decrease in payments for capital expenses? And then my second question is 232, 0.8.2, the third management. When we compare the budget to the main allocation of the previous year, you can see that the decrease is huge. What are the reasons for this and how does it impact on service delivery? Then my last one, Chair, 232, table 8.2, community-based services. They revised estimate for the sub-program will increase to a stipend for community healthcare workers to compensate them for 8 hours workday and poorly. Why is the budget decreased now? How will this impact on salaries for community healthcare workers? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 234, program C, and my question is the same about 50.9 and 4.2. Does that increase mean that the C system page 264? Does that increase mean that the C system to be expanded?
Thank you. And matching on to Member Allen's question, is there an increase or decrease in the incidents concerning EMS staff? And how is that monitored? Thank you. You may proceed with the answer.
Just
to start
with the issue of the health nurse, the time will find that the patients will just assume that they will be picked up or they will. There's an arrangement, and I think if there was an appointment, and yet we find that they put it within the system. For example, if, for example, that you there's a need for you to go to sort of the rural area for a checkup in Cape Town, although you have got an appointment, but if let's say you are in Maritza, you have to make a point that the Maritza puts us on the system, so that they know that the patient from the Maritzburg will be picked up onto the Cape Town. But in some instances, some of the patients will be just making assumptions. So they must think. And also, HealthNet is also part of the monitoring system. But there's a part of related to the EMS. If they are calling for an ambulance, in all our in the center, we find that they could be able to see the patient from wherever calling for an ambulance. Same apply if there's an inter-facility from facility A to facility B, it's also monitored, even the time that takes also monitored. Same apply in the other part for the health nurse, which is the pickup. It's also being monitored. They already know any patient is being fetched from wherever it will be a transport that will need a stretcher. So they already know which patient that was all treated by for the minibus. So I just wanted to respond around the health network.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I'll go through and respond to the others. So just on quick elaborate on the answer of EMS. The red zone situation is a fluid situation. So what we have is we have the South African Police Service reporting on incidents like an incident in specific areas. Based on that, the police themselves says, well, it's unsafe to go into the area. And that's how the red zones are then declared. But it doesn't stay the same all the time. So it changes in the group. It's very much dependent on how safe communities are. And it's very much external to correctly, we just get a note and say it's now become unsafe in the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to that area, or it might be tomorrow afternoon, it's unsafe to go to that area. So what we have is we have a deployment of somebody that is an EMS official on a 24-hour basis at the TMC, the Transport Management System, where SAPS and everybody is, so that communication to everybody. And in that communication, there's also now communication with neighborhood watches. So the neighborhood watches then also then kicks in, and there's communication with SAPS and with law enforcement and to the police, so that all of those work, and whoever is available to accompany the ambulance into a place, there's a meeting point to get taken to the place. We know that that has delayed our response time, because it is dependent on getting all of those logistics while time ticks to get to somebody's house. I would say that the streamlining of that has worked better in the last half a month. So insofar as that the incident has also started decreasing. So we have now 3 months, which we can give you the detail, but it's starting to show early signs of decrease. And we also have this cooperation, it's running more smoothly. It's more ingrained system, so people become more, know one another, recall one another, there's mechanisms to actually move into the area. And there's multiple things there to create safer zones going into the area. What does get complicated within that is that a big factor of what EMS is deployed to is not to deploy only to the house of the patient that calls. They also get calls to come to a health facility to pick somebody up that needs to go to a hospital. You arrive at the person, they are supposed to arrive at the clinic. Now you have to pick up because you're sick, you must go. Now, it's complicated to see that the red zones get declared where our health facilities and that is then part of the challenge. There's been two or three areas where I know that we're very close to working together, and yesterday we had a report in the southern western area that because of local communication, people are working. Those delays have now escalated as a mechanism. People not waiting so long at the health facility to be picked up. So my answer is people are working, they're networking, they build relationships, and they're trying to find solutions to work in this area. Whether the EMS increases here, which I'll go to Mr. Craig in a moment, whether the fleet expands, that's something that the office is looking at. Look at the minister has asked us a question. Now, if you look at our exclusion at the beginning, our budget says we're not expanding anything other than the firewood business. The firewood business there doesn't say that we're going to expand the fleet. So this money is only to keep EMS as it is. One of the questions the minister is asking us is that sufficient to meet our commitment? And during the course of the year, we might have to look and say, do we do something different if that becomes a problem? But it's not on our exclusion list to expand. So please, that's not. I'm going to ask Mr. Kay to respond with us and to on the capital question and then also on the technical question of the finances in the DHS section of the members. Mr. Kay.
Okay, thanks. I'll respond to all three. So the question about the decrease in the capital is in program one. You will see that we actually put some additional money into program one for the current year, primarily around ICT. So we boosted that, but it was a kind of a one-off boost. So if you look at how we drop over the next couple of years, we've created a little bit more of an equilibrium. Then the questions around in program two. So there's been a little bit of a change in the grant frameworks. So the HPV vaccine, or the HPV grant, is now a component of the HIV grant. It's no longer a separate grant on its own. And it used to sit in 2.1 in district management. It now no longer sits in 2.1. It sits in 2.6. Okay, I'm just finding myself right here. So you'll see that district management decreased by 2.97% versus stable 8.2. And then community-based services, the community, the VAT
health service is now also funded within the HIV grant space. So we've allocated the expenditure in the budget, or the budget, talking about budget, into HIV. So you can see it's gone down by 2.97, it's gone about 13.3, but the HIV has grown almost 11%. So it's really a reshuffling of some of the furniture to make sure that we are in compliance with the DORA and the CAP classification that has come through. So there's no impact, so to speak, on the service, which I think was the question that you were asking. So no, we just had to reclassify somewhere else in terms of the funds.
I could just add in one more question, sorry, on the community health worker question. So there's a very clear undertaking that we move to the expansion of the salary to 3.5 for 8 hours a week, and there's been a transitional management of a managed arrangement in every district in the province to move towards that dispensation. So again, part of the HIV grant for this coming year is to allow for the payment of 3.5 for 8 hours a week.
Thank you. You have a follow-up member?
Thank you, Chairperson. Another follow-up on the team that on page 227, and I wouldn't want to take us back to our initial commentary regarding the coronavirus, but the global fund, I see the transfers to other entities in terms of the global fund, 2018-2019 jumped significantly, and then for now it's
2.6, the Nurses Training College. How much of the budget will be going to students that sleep within the think tank but in April? If all confirmed that led to the protest in the institution last year, they resolved that question number one. Number two, are there any factors that the students that have failed or will not be funded? And then I'm at page 249. Table 8.8. Can you please just talk us through the budget cut on table 8.8? What are the reasons and what will be the impact? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair, mine on page 247 of program 8.1. My question is the regarding of CSF and part of this project, and then secondly, can you give details of all the projects that you mentioned, the 9 in planning, the 13 in design, the 2 in which will be in retention or final amount. Thank you. Thank you, Eva. And what was that?
Treatment for 242, table 8.2. I just want to clarify that briefly in terms of what you have just said previously, that EMHA, the thesis, that is upskilling in-house. I'm just clarifying this.
Thank you.
Department? I'll explain that we, for now, all nursing college, initially, we call that It's a sticking case that what happened. But our owners in college, which now is a college complex, a canoe complex, the way it was together with an ambulance college. So, about the CPUT, we asked in terms of the problems whether we are providing this service for them, just like we provide for the good of the sea, and the answer of the part. And then the other question, it was about related to that, because it's going to be part of that. And then I think what they just said, we have two things as well, but I just wanted to clarify some of the college that's now gone. On the old name, the WCCNS, in April, this is the one that we have. If you see it on the help, you have to see it on the help. Tell them what's possible for the new program and the first, on the help. But I think the issue of the first. Secondly, I want to talk about the project. The project that has been happening, this time, for example, in Limpopo, because of the students that are completed, they are concerned. It's a 4-year degree. And then when they do their concept, just like even with their medical students, when they are done with their internship, they are done in terms of the obligation from the provinces to appoint them. So it will depend on where they are post, but they can apply as an anyone. But the expectation, because your intake was, let's say, 800 in the college. Now we're committed to appoint us. So previously, if that's like in the Eastern case, they would probably succumb to the pressure and then they end up putting it. So that's the point that I'm trying to highlight. In terms of the students, one thing to have a bursary, you'll never get it anyway. You cannot fail in any case of bursary. It means that remember, even if the intake is 300, it might be where they could be able to afford the same one. There will be 100 students who might pay from their own pocket. Elsewhere. So if in that 200, 10 fail, it means that you take that 10 from the 100 and put it there. So if you fail, there has never been any plan for failure. Mm-hmm. If you fail, you fail, you can't.
So just to elaborate what is around CPC, which is considering the issues that we've been asking. The separation of Western Cape College of Nursing being the Department of Health College and the students attached to that, that was clarified, and we're not transferring that to CCC, we're holding on to that. The situation that arose last year was to do with the situation where we find ourselves, where the university has students on our premises, and it's not necessarily our students, they have accommodation on our premises. So at Salomon Hospital and at Western College of Nursing, we are also housing CPUT students, other than our own students. At the time with the UWC students and CPUT students. So when you have a uprising of a student complaining about something, if it's a CPUT student, they happen to be on the premises, but they're not part of our College of Nursing. They are CPUT students. That's it. So we just like to separate that out. We had a discussion in management yesterday that we must have an approach where we are providing accommodation to students on our premises as opposed to students being used as part of our premises. In terms of the EMS college, I think the minister's made a point. Like the Western Cape College of Nursing, we also have an EMS college. Now for both, we are actually doing formal training. Both we've now gone to the process of applying to the Council of Higher Education and to be accredited training institutions for EMS personnel. So again, that college that you see there is actually our EMS college, together with our Western Cape College of Nursing, that now in registered becomes higher education institutions that are housed by ourselves. I will ask Mr. Kay and Dr. Bessie to actually respond to the program aid and the capital project.
Okay, there is a difference in the production budget for the fact that it's due to the fact that the
and then we need to apply for what they call it the incentive grant. So we need to apply in the sense that we need to submit our UEMP, our IMP, our IRM, and our document technicality, but there are some deliverables that the Department of National Health together with Treasury, they look and they give us some score. So in accordance to the scoring, they give us some additional funding at the end of November. So this year we received 58 million rand. Last year we received 101 million. The reason why we received more money last year is because this is a pot of money that the National Health needs to divide among all the provinces. Last year only 3 provinces that got the incentive grant. So it was the Kwazulu Natal, Eastern Cape and the Western Cape. While this year are 8 provinces, all the provinces could not take it. So there is less money available for the province. So that is the difference in the budget for the main. For GEDUS, the program is the program 8.4 because it's a regional hospital. What we are doing at the moment, Public Works has been appointing a team of consultants for starting the design of the hospital. The brief has been approved by National Health, and we are ready to start the planning of the new hospital. Of course, the construction can only take place when the two schools will be relocated, as we discussed later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, I am covered. Thank you very much.
My answer was not really, or my question was not really answered when it comes to page 247 in terms of the 9 in frame and the 13 in mind and the 2 in retention in the final stage.
So what we put here in the narrative are the number of projects in the different stages. And then we analyze the most important or the most relevant projects that we are currently busy and they are currently in construction. If I refer to page 273, is where we have all the nature, where all the projects, infrastructure projects, non-infrastructure projects, these categories of investment are listed, and also there are the dates as well as the budget available and as well as the current stage in accordance to the IMS. So that is where we have all the results. But as I do every year, I would like to understand as soon as we have the clinical document, the new UN, the new user management plan, because that is our 10-year plan for infrastructure, and every year we submit it to the community. When, as soon as it's ready.
Thank you. I agree with that photo. Thank you very much, members. We are now on page 253. So, page 302 for the issues. Are there any questions emanating from? No questions. Thank you, members. I will now afford an opportunity to members of the public and stakeholders to pose the question to the relevant department. So may I ask that you, upon switching on your mic, just state your name and your organization again for the report, please. Thank you.
Tamara Kiwi from the Cape Metro Health Forum. Maybe first also just to say that we don't have a complete ADP, we only go to page 135, the little book we have. So that made it a bit difficult. So we don't have a budget book?
Yeah.
No. But I do have two questions. Can I pose my question?
I think my first question is the amalgamation of services in the metro. The provincial department provides City Health with a budget, and I'm not sure if the portfolio committee has an oversight of that budget and the services that are rendered by City Health. And the confusion out in the communities with regards to City Health services. So that would be my first question, the amalgamation. When can we expect it to happen in the metro? And then secondly, I think it's 2008, when 2020, the whole issue around health committees, the coordination of health committees, the budgeting of health committees, and the engagement of health committees at the different levels of engagement within the department. Goes on. I think the role health committees play is critical, and it's been a continuous question in this house around where are health committees placed, what role do they play, and who takes responsibility to ensure that the health committees are in place. I will leave it at that.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We find that I've taken the motion of the question that our member colleague asked.
Okay, so give me my comment by the question.
Thanks, Chairperson. The issue of the City of Cape Town, I think Minister Member McKenzie was asking previously about the record keeping. There's been a long drawn out charter of the City of Cape Town, and it's been discussed in this House many times. The Minister has undertaken and has engaged with the City of Cape Town, and our position has always been very clear that at a political level, the engagement was about the province having the intention of saying that the first position is that we should amalgamate the services under one government. That has always been the position of the City of Cape Town. The Minister engaged the political sphere and the local people, but within a conversation to say it can only happen if the City of Cape Town political sphere agrees with that position. There was an undertaking that provincialization or combining under one authority will not happen in the immediate future. So that is a political decision that has now been taken between the two spheres of government. What we have been asking as officials, what does it mean to streamline what we do between the province and the city to make sure that the citizens don't get fragmented and disjointed service. So we have got a very clear mandate to work with the city officials make sure that we get rid of the disjointedness and streamline the alignment between provinces. I'm part of a facilitated process. We've asked external facilitators to come in, facilitate that process between ourselves and the city. And we are about to give a recommendation to the minister. Yes, to start off with, there are 9 facilities where the city and the province is under the same roof. It used to be 22, it's now 9. The undertaking is that the province of the city is about to make a recommendation to the minister and to make a recommendation to the city of how we will move towards consolidating those services under either authority. And that is a recommendation that will probably be served in the next 2 weeks or so. Our follow-up meeting is next week. The understanding there is also that we don't stop there. But we would like the client to walk in and not be told those side of the province side. And I'm sure the kids and the colleagues know who the facilities are, but I can provide the names of the facilities. Most of them are inside of the northern. And there is one in Kipfontein, which happens to be in Yada. And then the biggest one is in Dolabile, in Taipei. The other 7 facilities our smaller facilities fellow, Goodwood, they in the side of the northern area, and there's also Turkey Egg and Squatty. So those are the facilities that I'm talking about. So there's a clear understanding that either the city or the province will be the authority that takes responsibility for doing the full service in that facility. We said we're not stopping at that. There are at least another 18 places where the province and the city have facilities that's within a kilometer of one another. So once you are in the same building, if you go to those places where the buildings are so close to one another, how do you also make sure that you streamline that particular thing? They don't get told to go across the street or do this or do that. That is the stepwise process. There is undertaking, I must say, from all the managers to actually see this process through. And our common point of departure is community oriented primary care. And our undertaking is to work towards bringing people into the sanctuary. That is linked to the second question. So it's very much who are the health committees for those facilities. So then the question is what is our engagement with the health committees for those facilities, because those would then be where we need to take hands with our community structures around the process in terms of how we do it. And I think there is a broader commitment. Very serious commitment. The minister can really speak for that, but we had a very serious senior management conversation with the ministers about community engagement. I think we understand the minister's frustrations and the minister's challenges in this space. We also, as a department, are stepping into the space to own our space and our responsibility in relation to it. So we're streamlining how exactly the administration function will function in relation to the registration of committees. The nomination process, the funding process, all of those things. We have created a focal point in the pathology section by head office, where that will all come together and it will be streamlined. But at the same time, we're taking a much broader of what does this community mean in real terms, of us actually engaging communities in a much more meaningful, in a proactive manner. And the committee's office will be a crucial part. Especially thinking of universal health coverage, what about our unfolding in this way?
Lastly, especially with the city, if you recall, at the time, at the beginning of 2014, that was much of the terms of the West, using the West conditional ratio and so forth. Now, with the policy changes upcoming related to universal health coverage, there will be a lot of role players in rental service, whether it's private, whether it's NGO, a faith-based, depending on the accreditation of meeting the requirements. So the question would be, we have to be such in a hurry when there will be other role players, those who might have their own NGO where you can render certain services as part of the NHI anyway. So we have to be in a hurry for CPO. We have to just put it on pause where you are looking in terms of what are the service pressure challenges that impact on Nyala when we are specified what we have identified in one space. Was in Nyala, in other nine states, we find that sometimes the other side closes the four, the other side closes whatever it is. Or the other side, once you are bringing the child, and then you feel ill in the city side, they say, when you go to that side, you find that they are already killed. Yet we have been here since 7 a.m. But because of the long queue for the baby. So how to work together so that you're in the same house. Whether in future it will be one CEO of government being in charge of that. But my point is, there will be time where there will be a lot of service providers. So we don't want now to say city just cut off and then later on say medical aid, you can render this service. And Sarah, you can render this service. Or faith-based, you can render. So that is one of those. And then lastly, with this part, the mere fact that actually for the resources that have been put in place towards the community involvement, like the assistant director, Sean Gates. Like we've got assistant director and in the institution now we've got CLOs. Because what used to happen
you find that the person who will be able to monitor the communication is their comms office and talk about their ability to get in. Even here, our client is still in the metro under Dr. Ferrer's office. Now, we've got the CEO, people who understand the community life and the importance of those. For some of us who were there when I was in Brady Bay, actually, the whole of CWD, Cape Wine District, they were saying that, who's this one? So there, the human office was only the management who are covering us going to all of these places. Where a communication officer, I would say that, before Minister of City, there are community leaders here, they have a conversation. So it was already done some work to understand that aspect, which we have already been having challenges with. So we are getting there, which is the next part of it now, is about what you are talking about. What is the human resources? What with another one? It was the act states that there should be like health state. That must be actually spearheaded, initiated from the community side. If, say, Metro wants to have their annual health state, or we say the Southern wants to have their annual health state, what resources that can be put in that? Because it's part of the provision within the act. If, like now, coronavirus.
They literally redecorated.